Hey, everybody, and welcome to an emergency Bachelor in Paradise update podcast. I'm Amy, here as always with Haley Strong. Haley, how are you doing tonight?
I wish we were getting together under better circumstances, but here we are. This was our week off, but The Bachelor never sleeps. And a lot of people requested that we have an emergency podcast about the really crazy breaking news that came out last night from Mexico. And that's that the Bachelor in Paradise season that they had started filming last week is canceled. Everyone got sent home. There are some pretty severe allegations. Not tossed around, but, you know, came to light. So we're just going to be going through all of that. We're going to try and do this as delicately as we can. We don't have all the information. We're just trying to give you what information we have, what was sent to us. We've got a lot of different things to go through. So we're not telling you what to think, but you know, we're just giving the information and being like, this is what we feel.
Right. And there is sensitive info that will be discussed. So, you know, of course, probably shouldn't ever play our podcast in front of small children, but definitely not this one. So just take that as our warning before we dive in. But we got a lot of requests, as Haley mentioned, really our audience alerting us, first of all, to the news about the suspension of Bachelor in Paradise production, which seems now to be cancellation, although there are conflicting reports on that as well. So, Haley, why don't we just start with kind of how the original news came in and what we were hearing?
Sure. So I was actually at work last night and I finished around 8 o'clock and I got to my phone. I had like 4 texts. I had like a bunch of tweets, you know, a bunch of DMs about this. It was like, what? So the first thing that came out, obviously, was that Bachelor in Paradise was abruptly halted in Mexico. Warner Brothers released a statement. This is verbatim what they said. We have become aware of allegations of misconduct on the set of Bachelor in Paradise in Mexico. We have suspended production and we are conducting a thorough investigation of these allegations. Once the investigation is complete, we will take appropriate responsive action. So from this article, this is E! News. Mm-hmm. And they say, what do they say? That the situation is serious and that production isn't just suspended. It's done for the season, possibly forever. So that was the very first piece of news. That was the breaking stuff. But more things have come out since then in the last 24 hours, I guess, really, it's been.
Yeah. So it first kind of said like there were 2 cast members in question. And then it came out that it was between DeMario and Corinne. So last time we talked about kind of who the original cast had been announced in our last podcast. So Corinne from Nick's season and DeMario from this Rachel's season were 2 of the original cast members. And so when you're hearing about misconduct, you know, your mind kind of goes to, you know, what it might be. But then there were sort of some reports. There was this thread by Amy Kaufman that people were pointing to.
Yeah. Everyone's minds were going to probably the same place. And that's an assault, a sexual assault or something along those lines, especially in, you know, an environment that kind of encourages hooking up, encourages drinking, you know, encourages drama. But then like reports came out that it wasn't as bad as we thought. And Amy, do you want to go through this thread?
Sure. So this is from @Amy K in LA, who's a film writer and LA Times reporter. And people really pointed to her, like, go to her thread for the updates. And so this was on June 11th at around 6 p.m. She writes, I just spoke to a source who says he knows why Bachelor in Paradise was just canceled. Here we go. On the first day of production, Sunday, DeMario and Corinne, so the same day really that the...
No, this wasn't... yesterday. It was last Sunday.
Oh, last Sunday. Okay. Yeah. So... on the first day of production, Sunday, DeMario and Corinne got extremely drunk, per my source. Corinne came up to DeMario at the bar and kissed him. They proceeded to the pool, where they got naked. From this point forward, things turned into quote-unquote softcore porn. They did not have sex, but it was very raunchy. The following day, Monday, a producer who witnessed this hookup did not show up to work. According to my source, this producer went on to sue the production for misconduct over what she witnessed between DeMario and Corinne. DeMario and Corinne were both shown footage of their hookup during their interviews in the days following their rendezvous. I will report more as I have it. My source was told a producer filed a third-party complaint to clarify my above comment. Okay, so Haley, what was your reaction to reading this thread?
I don't know. I was just kind of perplexed. I was like, right. Oh, okay. Because then it was like, oh, like, are both parties involved? Like, I wondered, like, oh, is it just like on the producer? Is Corinne and DeMario like okay with the situation?
Like, right. Was it just some producer that didn't know what show they were on? I was thinking, well, how is this different from like Samantha and Joe in the hot tub, or, you know, yeah, what were they expecting? But so that was just, and again, just one thing that came out. We were just told, hey, this lady knows what's going on.
And even Reality Steve was pointing to her as his source of information. He didn't actually have any information on his own.
Right. Right. So, and again, you know, we try to stay away from sites like that because we don't want spoilers. But in this case, you know, things that he finds out tend to come true later on. So, you know, we were just paying attention to his accounts and things like that for where we could gather information. And so I'm thinking, okay, this is a little confusing. And then let's see, what was the next thing that came out? There was TMZ where DeMario came out.
Yeah, we have a couple of TMZ articles. First, DeMario spoke to TMZ. So he told someone who told TMZ that one of the producers wanted DeMario and Corinne to be a storyline this season. They thought it would be really entertaining because both of them were villains in their original season. DeMario says that they met at the bar and alcohol was flowing. Corinne jumped in his lap, started making out with him. We were told that there was lots of intense rubbing. DeMario says that Corinne suggested they retreat to the pool with the cameras rolling. They took off their clothes, started making out, quote unquote, rubbing, touching, fingering. He says her genitals in his face and he began licking. But we're told this allegation is a big point of contention and others disagree with his account. He says he was not able to engage in intercourse because of the alcohol. DeMario says the next day everything was fine and he and Corinne were actually getting along well. But on Tuesday they were called in by the executive producer and told one of the show producers had seen the film and was uncomfortable with what was shot. The producer has filed a formal complaint with Warner Brothers, and Warner Bros. Immediately suspended production, launched an investigation, and released DeMario and Corinne. 2 days later, the Warner Brothers released the entire cast while they investigated alleged misconduct. As we said, there are other versions of what happened that differed from DeMario's. So that's DeMario's side of the story.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then there was a second TMZ article that came out, and that one clarified that the misconduct investigation does involve alleged sexual assault. So the common thread seems to be that there definitely, it came about by a field producer filing a complaint. Here, in contrast with the Amy Kaufman's account on Twitter, says the producer filed a complaint that Corinne Olympia seemed so drunk the first day of filming that she had no ability to consent to DeMario Jackson's sexual moves in a swimming pool, and producers nonetheless let it play out on film. The producer in question believes Corinne may have been sexually assaulted, although we know DeMario claims the encounter was not only consensual, she was the instigator. Our sources say the field producer in question was assigned to shadow Corinne and began hearing stories from people on the set that Corinne was so drunk she had no idea what was going on in the pool. It's unclear if the producer watched the incident, but we know she has not seen the footage. People familiar with the footage tell TMZ Corinne appears, quote-unquote, fully engaged. As we reported, after the complaint was filed, they immediately dismissed both DeMario and Corinne and launched an investigation into misconduct.
Yeah, so that's not good.
No,
that's,
it was very upsetting. Okay. It's hard to even read.
Yeah, especially these are like people we've kind of you know, come to watch and come to like. And this is real life stuff. Like, we watch the show, we make fun of it, but, you know, sometimes there are things that are not okay. I have another TMZ article here, actually. And then this is one that says Corinne claims she was in a blackout state when she got sexual with fellow Bachelor in Paradise star DeMario Jackson, and she blames producers for not pulling the plug and protecting her. Although our sources say people who've seen the tapes said claim she was fully lucid and engaged. Sources close to Corinne say, tell TMZ she was drunk the entire day of filming when she ended up naked in the swimming pool with DeMario. Although DeMario remembers everything from rubbing, touching, fingering to licking her genitals, she says she remembers nothing. We are told the day after the swimming pool incident, she claims fellow cast members began telling her stories of what went down with DeMario. She says several cast members told her they had voiced concern to people in production crew that she was in no position to consent to sexual activity, but the crew did not heed their warnings. So that's not great. And also, this article says that Corinne has told her friends she has a boyfriend and wouldn't have done what she did, especially with cameras rolling to jeopardize that relationship.
Yeah, which reminds me of another kind of, I feel like there were rumors going around before the season started of different contestants having boyfriends. But again, that's neither here nor there. Like that,
and it sounded like many of the women this season and maybe even other people had like relationships back home, which is like a whole other thing to delve into.
Right.
That it just doesn't really make sense. But I'm that's not really what our focus here is today. Maybe another time we can get into that.
Right. And you also sent me an interesting screenshot that just kind of shares another perspective. This is in a Facebook group. And
yeah, so Sarah, who's one of our listeners, sent this to me. It was a screenshot from another Facebook group, I think. Sarah, if you want to clarify that, let me know. And this is a post from popular like Instagram personality girl with no job. She also hosts an online news show with someone else, and they kind of they kind of talked about what her points are, but her points are in the screen cap. Amy, go for it.
Sure. So DeMario says Corinne put her genitals in his face, and Corinne says she did not. Corinne was blackout wasted. He went down on her. Producer wanted to intervene but was told not to. The producer complained, so they showed the footage to Corinne the next day to get her perspective on it, but Corinne got upset because she didn't remember it happened. She thought she was fine to get blacked out because production was supposed to protect them, which explains why DeMario ran to TMZ to get his version of the story out first. Most of the cast unfollowed Corinne but is now following DeMario on Instagram. But this could be because they're just mad at Corinne ruining their TV time and opportunities to sell fit tea. This happened a week ago. DeMario was immediately sent home. Corinne stayed for a few days. ABC has tried to brush it under the rug for a week and continue to film before finally pulling the plug and canceling it on Friday. And then it also notes at Amy K in LA is in bed with Warner Brothers / ABC, and they are using her as a pawn to deflect from the fact that they encouraged and allowed a sex crime to happen. So again, we don't know what connections a girl with no job has, but this does kind of line up with some of these reports that are coming out and gives another perspective on, you know, how this maybe was covered up for a while, or using like a reporter to potentially allegedly spin a sort of like mild tale about it.
You soften a pretty hard story.
Right. And then a lot of people are kind of wondering, you know, of course, Haley, you and I, we love the show, but these allegations are very serious, so we wouldn't, you know, it's not like entertainment above all else, but, you know, we do want to answer the question about, you know, is it really canceled or not? And so there have been speculation about that, but it seems to be like pretty clear that, you know, it's not going to premiere when it was going to premiere and may not come to air at all.
Or ever.
Again.
Ever again.
Right. There was an Entertainment Weekly update where the headline still says, Bachelor in Paradise not in jeopardy for now, despite investigation. But then everything I'm seeing in this article doesn't really, it's basically just that Warner Horizon has not confirmed
officially
that
nixed it.
Right.
But
so it says,
doesn't look good.
Right. The fourth season of the show is scheduled to return August 8th, but we have, there's been photos of people like the cast on Instagram going home, and they, so they are not there right now. But I suppose potentially they could maybe air something that happened. I'm not sure. However, this investigation will conclude. But yeah, the whole thing makes me feel very icky and upset.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of things with this show that we've talked about that morally doesn't make us feel great, especially in the last couple seasons. It's kind of getting a little worse with the stunt casting. For example, like last week we talked about Lee and how we're not mm-hmm. okay with that. It sucks. It sucks that this, you know, has to happen, and not has to happen, obviously, that mm-hmm. this did happen, and the people who could have been protecting these people were putting entertainment above all else, or, right. you know, or were just being like, oh, well, this is just what happens in the show. And I mean, I've seen lots of opinions, and if this is your opinion, we're not coming for you. It's just, you know, so, you know, people are saying, well, this is what the show is. You get drunk, you hook up with people. And sure, yeah, that's what we have been watching for three seasons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's probably been some times where it's borderline mm-hmm. not okay. A lot of people are drinking, and, you know, consent and drinking doesn't go hand in hand, really. Right. And, you know, I think it would be kind of an interesting point to bring up that, like, was DeMario in a place to consent either? Mm-hmm. Were either, like, it doesn't seem like either of them are in the right mind to consent to this. And Corinne felt violated, and that's within her right. It seems like a violating act. And, you know, if she had full trust in the production to protect her and, like, be like, okay, it's fine if I get really drunk because these people are here to protect me.
Right. The same if, like, you know, when it was Chad making threats or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if, you know, if Chad was threatening Jared that he was going to beat him up, like, Jared would hope that he was being protected by production, that he'd intervene, you know, if a situation arose. And, you know, like Lace and Chad last season, when they were both really drunk and making out in the pool, it's like, okay, well, you know, should that have been intervened? Or, you know, some points I saw was like, well, if this wasn't in the pool, if it wasn't out in the open, would this investigation mm-hmm. happen? Well, probably not. Mm-hmm. And that kind of leads me to think, like, this is probably not the first time something like this has happened. Mm-hmm. It's just the first time it was so openly documented.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if it's, you know, there definitely was a producer who made a complaint. The stories are changed based on, you know, who's reporting on what this producer complained about. But, you know, just the fact that there's somebody raising concern on set, and that's not enough to, you know, just stop it there and redirect and, you know, intervene at that point. That's what I don't get. It's like that they would just say, like, no, no, the show above all else. You know, if one person is raising concern, you know, why not just, you know, go with that report because of how serious that allegation is?
Yeah, or even, like, say, fuck it and just intervene.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, just,
you know, I'm not blaming this producer. Like, she did something that was very, you know, like, brave, kind of, you know, bringing light to the situation.
Like,
why not just be like, I'm not asking, I don't care, I'm stopping this, I'm not okay with this. Like, mm-hmm. I care about Corinne, I don't think she's in her right mind. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if she tomorrow says, like, yeah, I was in my right mind, well, then it's better to be safe than sorry. And right now they're looking pretty sorry.
Right. And they know how to spin, you know, footage out of nothing. So if they still wanted to, like, carry on that narrative, like, that they hooked up in a pool with the producer interview, you know, they could leave out the footage of a producer intervening and everything.
They could leave out that entire storyline, really.
Right. Right. So
they could just say DeMario was sent home they could probably freaking edit him out of the entire show if they really wanted to.
Right.
Big Brother's done that in the past where, like, somebody who got evicted, like, they just edit them out. Like, it's happened before, it could happen again.
Right. Or people who are announced in the cast don't show up on the first day, things like that. Yeah. I mean, it really feels like, I haven't seen the latest season, I don't know if it's out yet, but, like, that show Unreal, where they always have, like, these high drama, terrible, like behind the scenes events going on. And like, I'm like, this feels like, you know, truth stranger than fiction kind of thing. Like,
yeah, really.
Yeah. So we do have.
So that's kind of, yeah, that's kind of all of the information that we have right now at 8:16 p.m. Eastern time, right, on June 12th, 2017.
Who knows by the time this podcast goes out what else will come out. But
yeah, but that's what we have. That's all the information we have for you.
Right. And we do have some questions from the patron group.
Yeah, we have some questions and some opinions from the patron group. I feel like that the patron group was able to have a really mature, productive discussion about what was going on. So I included some opinions in with the questions too.
Right. That's, yeah, awesome. And just in the interest of time and just on public forum, we didn't want to put the thread everywhere. So
yeah, and we just didn't, you know, we wanted to have a little bit of a hand of control in this, and we're trying to be as delicate with this as possible. It's obviously a very serious situation, and we don't really want to make light of it. Even if it's about this, you know, fluff ball of a weirdo show, this is a real life thing that's gonna follow Corinne and DeMario around for the rest of their lives.
Right. So with that, this is a question from Albert Vargas. He wants to know, is there any way for the season to recover if the worst case scenario happens to be true? Some may argue that it's a good idea to end the show here, but is it a better idea to resume taping and use this incident as a lesson about how society treats sexual assault?
And then there was a good follow-up point from Anna Morphew here. She said, I like the idea of using it as a lesson, but I don't trust the Bachelor producers to do that correctly. I also don't trust a majority of the audience to handle it either. Mm-hmm. I mean, we saw Corinne on her original season, and she was flirty and she was sexual and she wanted to sleep with Nick.
Mm-hmm. She went in the bouncy house, and yeah, people reacted really negatively to that. So yeah,
and so I could easily see people connecting those two things, being like, well, look what a floozy she was on Nick's season. Obviously she was asking for it. Mm-hmm. And that is not the stance that the Bachelor Wrap Up takes. It is two completely different situations. But I could see a majority of the audience taking a stance that is not hand-holding with ours.
Right. Robbie Hatch, Haley, what could this mean for the Bachelor Winter Games?
I think we're pretty far out from the season of The Bachelor. That won't start till January. This Bachelor Winter Games probably won't be till like end of February. So there's quite a bit of time to decompress, depending on how long this lawsuit is drawn out for, what happens in the next couple of weeks, if it's going to be, really intense for the next month or two and then just kind of peter off, or if it's going to be a slow burn throughout the fall. I could see them putting it on still. Mm-hmm. But just having a less sexual focus, right. Like you could easily imagine games that are really like innuendos and stuff. And I could see them kind of avoiding that. Now, I think it will still happen. I think a lot of people are questioning whether or not this franchise is in jeopardy, and I don't think it is. As terrible as it is to say, you know, this is ABC's biggest moneymaker, probably. Mm-hmm. And it's really just keep growing. You know, every other station is finding that their shows are losing numbers out the wazoo, and The Bachelor just keeps growing. I think it's probably easy for them to spin Bachelor in Paradise as a separate entity. Because it was always taken way less seriously than The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. So that I could see them kind of just cutting off that and pretending it didn't really happen. Mm-hmm. Also something I read was that Carly and Evan were supposed to get married.
Yeah, so that came in from one of our listeners, Brittany Roberts at Brit270. She said, Evan and Carly are supposed to be married there on the 17th. I'm really sad for them. So that is very sad.
That really, really, really sucks.
I mean, I haven't been following them closely, and they probably would have had to keep that under wraps so that maybe was in, you know, like a Reality Steve article or something like that. But that makes a lot of sense that they would come back there a year later and have their wedding and be kind of like the Jaden Tanner success story.
Although that didn't really work for the last couple that got married in Mexico.
Right. True. Marcus and Lacey. So it could have gone either way. Yeah. I don't know how that works with, you know, can they still get a resort down there? Or are they saying like, we need a happy story and we're going to like film a whole wedding later on for you guys. So hang tight.
Yeah. I think that would be an interesting thing to do. Kind of film the wedding as like a, oh, we meant to do this all along. This is the big wedding special.
Right. Right. So that could be interesting. And then Dave Bacher wants to know, thoughts on whether or not there would have been a cancellation if a complaint hadn't been received?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think they would have done anything.
Right.
Like I'm literally, I have no basis for this. This is just completely out of wherever, but like, it's hard for me to believe that this is the first time something along these lines has happened.
Right.
In three seasons of Bachelor Pad, three seasons of Bachelor in Paradise, you know, it just, I could see a circumstance in which things were just not super consent. Mm-hmm. But either this time was a little more graphic, this time was a little further, people were more worried about Corinne, I don't know, or just it was seen by a different set of eyes.
Right.
I really don't think it would have been cancellation if the complaint A hadn't been received, or B, it was in like a different room, mm-hmm. if it was caught on one of those, you know, security cameras or whatever, or, you know.
Right. This is from Justin Feinberg. Did the show's own premise set up this failure? Was this always going to be inevitable at some point? Or could the show as we know it have been produced in such a way that a situation of dubious at best consent never comes close to materializing as it did?
What do you think, Amy?
I mean, like you were just saying, we think that this seems unlikely that this is the first time it has happened. And, you know, maybe you and I are just like in our like entertainment world where we're just like, oh, this show is so silly. And it just like hasn't crossed our mind before. And now this situation is bringing that to light. You know, I would like to think that for situations that are being filmed and facing, you know, producers, that there would be intervention. And so I don't think it had to be inevitable with like proper care in terms of this. But yeah, if the stories we hear are true about just like unending alcohol and just like go crazy, you know, it kind of, I'm trying to think of like comparable MTV shows or something like that. I mean, I don't know of any, I don't follow them closely enough. Yeah, we've seen fights break out and things like that.
It's also based on like intercourse and being drunk.
Right.
I mean, the challenge, it happens, you know, real world, it happens. And I don't know any specific instances from those in which, actually, there is a couple instances where there was like some sexual assault. Like there was like Evan and Kenny and Tanya and a toothbrush involved, and now I think they and Kenny and Evan were never allowed to be on the challenge again. I'm sure there was other ones, but that's just like the one that comes to my mind first.
Right.
Anytime you get young hot people in a room, you give them a lot of alcohol, you put cameras, you know, and you kind of it's just these things have to be handled a little more delicately than they probably have in the past. And I think a lot of other shows are going to look at this example and really handle themselves with a little more care in the future around these kinds of things.
Right. So that could be a positive. And I feel like, yeah, and something like a network show, I just feel like they're more inclined to brush something under the rug rather than, you know, I can see MTV taking the stand and saying like, you know, these people are never allowed on, and being more straightforward about, you know, something happening.
They have less to lose.
Maybe. Or maybe it's just more, I don't know. More
like, it's hard to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or less because of an that, image or to that, uphold. That instance was very, like, very cut and dry that it wasn't consensual.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, there's a few more, you know, I mean, it depends how you look at it. Like, if you see it as she was drunk, she could not have consented. And he could not have consented either because he was drunk. And then it, you know, like, it's an endless discussion of where's the line.
Right.
What's the line?
And who are the other people on set that are saying to that producer who raised the complaint, no, it's fine, keep going. Like, who are they protecting on that side?
Yeah.
Let's see, this is from Marshall Kistner. I now understand the importance of the boom boom room in Are You the One or the consensual bedrooms in VIP that we've seen in the past. People make a conscious decision to go in those rooms and can provide for proper enough consent with both parties. The fact that they jumped into the pool and things got out of hand is something production probably never really saw coming, since it was a public space and the words quote unquote softcore porn have been stated in terms of how the situation devolved. So it went much too far. I think ABC is in some major trouble for how they handled it and ensured that no one intervened. This is the ethical question of that reality TV deals with. People should have been allowed to step in, and I think this is going to be a major talking point moving forward for the Bachelor franchise and reality TV in regards to sexuality and consent. So there, Marshall's bringing up some good points about these rooms where they like really spell out like, oh, they know why people in Are You the One are going to the boom boom room.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say that someone couldn't be like dragged there, but then it's like clear if they're being,
yeah,
you know,
it's a little
there.
More obvious.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have like, I mean, we have seen handsy stuff in public places before. We saw that with Samantha and Joe. Mm-hmm. But that was, it was A, more consensual, and B, you know, a woman giving a hand job to a man, it is looked at a little differently than, you know, a man performing oral sex on a woman.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, it's just not, you know, a good situation all around. And, you know, it kind of seems like, this was going to come to a head eventually with a show like this.
Right.
Like, as bad as that sounds. And, you know, and I don't know if I really ever considered it would be this bad.
I know. No, it was shocking. And it's funny because, like, it goes to, like, when the news first came out and we don't really know what it is and we didn't even hear the two names, you know, our reactions were more just like, oh my gosh, we're not going to have this season. Like, what about our beloved Ben Z, we're waiting, you know, and then quickly you get into these allegations and it's like you forget all that and you're just like, I want to know the truth.
Is really, really dark.
This
really
is
real
life. Yeah. This is from Will Holston, who says, can't believe I'm saying this, but I think reading what DeMario and Corinne separately told TMZ paints a decently clear picture of what happened. They disagree on certain points, but my main takeaway is that Corinne was way too intoxicated to be consenting to what was happening, and someone in production should have stepped in and put an end to it. Contestants on VIP feel free to drink to excess and let all their inhibitions down in a way they never would in the real world. There are cameras everywhere, and they are allegedly in a controlled environment, surrounded by people who shadow them and make sure they are adhering to a path and storyline that the show approves of. In the Bachelor in Paradise bubble, everything goes until a producer says it doesn't. If a contestant is doing or saying something and no one in production steps in to intervene, it's implied approval from production that what is happening is appropriate and legal. It's almost like the show itself is automatically implying consent between contestants unless it is explicitly stated otherwise. Also, important to note about Amy Kaufman is that she's writing a book about The Bachelor and you would think is being given information by the show itself. So whatever she's saying probably has serious spin. So that's a good point.
Yeah, I think Will made a lot of great points. He never fails to be just the best commenter possible, in good times and in bad. He makes a lot of excellent points. You know, and something that was brought up in one of the other articles is that Corinne wasn't upset with DeMario for what happened. She was upset with production.
Mm-hmm. That is interesting. Yeah, so it all kind of goes back to, you know, there was somebody intervening, but someone who overruled that producer. And the contestants...
I mean, but why could be like it directed at so many different areas of this situation?
Right.
But why was that happening? But why did, you know, you asked first, but why did anyone let this get so far? But why did this? But why? Like, you know,
I know. yeah, it's very tough to, like, you know, you want to, like, go back in time kind of with this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And really just pinpoint it. Hannah Goodman wants to know, is this good news for the return of Bachelor Pad? So the Bachelor Pad was the first spinoff. Bachelor Pad is relatively less drunken, and contestants must win competitions to stay on the show rather than rely on hookups. So Bachelor Pad, so the return of Bachelor Pad, I think, is kind of similar to the return of that new show, The Winter Games.
Yeah.
It seems to be more competitive. And, you know, is that just going to be the direction they go? To have some sort of spinoff, but just, like, redirect? What do you think?
I mean, I think I don't think we're going to see Bachelor Pad in that name. I think we might see a separate entity. It'll be hard to launch a separate entity when every headline's going to include Bachelor in Paradise. And why did Bachelor in Paradise end?
Well, right. Yeah. Well, how much can they show? Like, I wonder, is it going to go to the point? Well, let's take this question. This is from George CTV, our wonderful draft scorekeeper. He wants to know, be sure to address how you think the BIP news could affect Rachel's season as far as Men Tell All and After the Final Rose format. Usually MTA and ATFR are prime times for promoting BIP and pushing contestants up on stage for BIP appearances.
And, like, is DeMario even going to be on stage? Is he going to be there?
Is he going to be asked back?
Is he going to have a hot seat? Is he going to be, you know, I don't think he's going to be there. But it's going to be crazy because he was such an integral part of the early season.
Right. I think
one of the biggest drama storylines happened from him. He was one of the first four guys who was there. You know, there's just a lot of things, you know, in orbit around this one point. And it seems like The Bachelor is going to have a hard time keeping all of these balls in the air.
Right. Are they going to paint, like, sort of blur all of his storylines together and just say, like, oh, this is a bad guy? Which, I mean, the thing with Lexi is more just like, okay, that wasn't, like, really,
it was
cool.
Kind of shady.
Yeah, but there wasn't any,
this,
like,
this is, like, criminal if, you right. know, if what is being alleged is true.
Yeah, I mean, is it, like, going to be like that where Chris Harrison, you know, does that little intro at the beginning, like, when he did, when that, which looking back is, like, that ridiculous story of that contestant who, like, hooked up with a producer on
VIP, right,
you
yeah.
know, is it going to be like he introduces, like, an episode like that? Like, and at what point does he do that? Because you think they'd use one of these opportunities to, like, at least clue people in, like, hey, this show isn't happening. Or they
because,
never.
Because, like, I truly wonder how many people who watch this show
don't see
it. News. Or, you know, even like this podcast, we are doing it because, you know, we've got a lot of listeners who aren't on Twitter, who aren't on Facebook, who don't follow the news. They literally rely on us to tell them what's going on.
Yeah.
And there's lots of people who watch the show and don't listen to us. Literally millions.
Yes.
And
they have no idea what podcasts are.
Yeah. Amy and I live in this very insulated bubble where everyone we talk to in our circle knows what's going on, or, you know, even if they don't watch The Bachelor, they have an idea of reality TV and how it works. And you know, here I'm sure there's lots of people who've never seen a single episode of Bachelor in Paradise know everything about this story just because they're in this, like, bubble. There's lots of people who watch the show who aren't in this bubble, who won't know until they say on After the Final Rose or Men Tell All, like, by the way, Bachelor in Paradise isn't happening. And why? Are they going to? I just really wonder how they're going to present it.
Mm-hmm.
What George brings up is something I never even thought about, really.
Right.
You know, that's so in the future. It's hard for me to not focus on what's happening right this moment.
Right. And I mean, my guess is that they're just going to kind of, if I have to guess how the show would handle it, I feel like it's going to...
Not well, like they handle well. Everything else.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be kind of like these articles that are coming out that are really vague. There's an Us Weekly article that we just got linked to on Twitter where it's like everything we know so far. But, you know, Us Weekly always features, like, Bachelor contestants, and they seem like they get kind of spoilery, but I feel like they also have kind of a good relationship with the show, and they're just kind of, they're not going into the TMZ depths of things. Not that TMZ is always accurate, but
they're always a little more gossipy than, like, say People always right. has, like, defined sources.
Yeah. And so like Entertainment Tonight, which also I think would, you know, it's an entertainment news show. So they're going to like want to be in good with the producers at an entertainment show. They're saying like the pair, as sources also confirmed to us, got hot and heavy. Everyone is just going about their business. Cameras are rolling. Producers are everywhere. The insider told ET. That's when a quote unquote third party felt uncomfortable claiming misconduct in the workplace. So according to this, this could be somebody that works at the resort for all, you know, this report says. We don't know that it's a handler or producer. They're like putting it as if it's like someone not associated with the show, doesn't get our world, was uncomfortable. That's how I'm reading that. So I could see them spinning that like, okay, we take things seriously, we stop production, but no wrong, our investigation said nothing wrong was done, is what I feel like they're, you know, gonna say, like, oh, we decide to, we'll start fresh with Bachelor Winter Games, or, you know, if I had to guess, I don't see them going back to Mexico and moving on from this, but I also don't see them like going in depth on anything serious.
Yeah, so that's, I don't know, it sucks to have to come here and talk about something so awful in our little world that's usually like such a reprieve from the real world and, you know, all the shitty shit that's going on. So,
right.
And so we just, you know, Amy and I hope that everyone involved in the situation is okay. We appreciate how our listeners have been handling the situation, how they've been reacting to it, and how they've been speaking to us about it. That's very much appreciated. We adore you guys. Thank you for, you know, asking for this episode, or, you know, trusting us with talking about something that's not super easy. Amy and I aren't qualified in any of these realms. We have no legal experience, no, you know, therapy assistance, or what did I say? Assistance? No, that's not what I meant.
Expertise.
Whatever. Yeah, we don't know how to counsel. We don't know how to talk about sexual assault. We don't know how to do anything except say bullshit into a microphone. And this isn't bullshit. This is real life. And so, yeah, so that's kind of it. Amy, do you have anything else?
I just noticed on Twitter that Raven retweeted Taylor, who is also on the cast.
Uh-huh.
And she says, good people make bad things better. Incredibly thankful for friends, family, chosen family, and this very special Bachelor fam. Heart symbol, hashtag RIPBIP4. So I'm trying to see if anyone else is using that hashtag, but it's mostly just people saying like, I'm so annoyed I don't get to see this show, I'm confused what happened, but this is the only contestant I see right now.
Yeah, I know Raven tweeted something like, I'm so broken about it, and then Robbie, who I don't care about, right. He said something like, oh god, he said something douchey, what you would expect from Robbie to be douchey about.
Oh really?
Robbie. And I think Chad said something douchey, you know, all the people you expect to say something douchey, douche.
Right.
But like, you know, and something we kind of brought up a little earlier, but like an interesting point about like who in the cast has boyfriends. Right. Like, what the frick?
Right.
Why are you on this? You're not here for the right reasons then.
Right.
Don't come at me with that right reasons bullshit if you have a boyfriend going on Bachelor in Paradise. Just putting that out there.
Right. Oh, yeah. I found what he said. Robbie Hayes. What happens in Paradise stays in Paradise. Hashtag no comment. Hashtag.
Oh, fuck you, Robbie. No one cares about your comment. You're an idiot.
Right. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I'm glad that he's getting the negative reaction. Like, I found it by under like a headline that says VIP fans are pissed at his reaction. So that's good. That's good. They're reacting at least correctly to Robbie.
Yeah.
Sorry you didn't get your airtime with whoever
you
were
pursuing.
I am
not sorry.
No, not at all.
Sorry about Benzie. Not sorry about Robbie. Not sorry about God, like 90% of these garbage guys, really.
Right. So. But in lighthearted news, our seasoned boyfriend, Diggy, got back to us about your draft pick, Michael, and saying that he did get eliminated on night one. So,
and then someone DM'd me on Instagram, like a post from Michael himself, would be like, well, it was great while it lasted. It was just like basically him walking in and that was it.
Oh, awesome.
Fine, I'll accept that he's not there.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I do feel bad for the, like, you know, it has to be hard for the people to come home. But I would hope that.
And a lot of people, okay, yeah, I do feel bad in that instance, but a lot of people are like, we had to put our entire lives on hold for 3 weeks. It's like, okay. Like, yeah. Scheduled posts on Instagram is a thing. So, like, let's not. Some people had to quit their jobs for three weeks.
No, they had to take like 1 week. 2 weeks of
vacation.
Right. They took unpaid week or something. That's the most.
Or
I don't think any of them lost
their job. It's possible that you're not even going to be there for the full 3 weeks. So, who cares?
But. Right. Yeah. No. And then I think other people are just kind of. Came back to their normal lives, like Amanda was tweeting about, like, what should I make for dinner with my daughters or something. So just kind of looking forward.
Yeah, maybe this was best case scenario for Amanda to not go through this again.
Right. And, you know, they were there for a week. The people that if they.
Yeah, that's true.
Usually, like, whoever, like, connects that week stays together the whole time. So they have each other's phone numbers and they probably had them before the show. So the people that didn't have boyfriends. They can still continue on.
I want a list. Someone send me a list of who had boyfriends. Because yeah, that like is something I want to read. Yeah, spoil me on Bachelor in Paradise now. I don't give a shit.
Right.
As long as it doesn't relate to spoiling The Bachelorette.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, don't give us contestants that we didn't want to know were there.
Yeah, so our, you know, the back half of our summer is going to be a little more free. But guess what, Amy?
What?
Guess what's coming in the fall?
What?
The Bachelor Canada.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you know who they got to be The Bachelor?
No.
A former baseball player.
Oh my goodness.
Did they make this show for me or what?
They did.
So that's something to look forward to. We might do I'm roping you in, but we might do a couple episodes about that.
Right. We might maybe have like withdrawal.
A premiere and then one halfway through and then we're both going to forget to watch the second half of the season.
So. Right.
Which is what we always do.
Nice. Yeah, so true. Yeah, so there are still things to look forward to, but we're definitely keeping our eyes out for any new stories and accounts that come out of this and just really interested to see how this might play out or not play out on the show. And thank you, everybody, for bearing with us.
Hopefully we handle this with enough care and hopefully no one gets mad at us. Please don't get mad at us. We tried our best.
So thank you, everybody, for listening. And Haley, where can people find you?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @hstrong_ and on Snapchat, hstrong28.
And I'm at RHAP Recapper. And we will be back with you next week for a recap of The Bachelorette.
Bye.
Bye.